पते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Kannst du das Englisch übersetzen, wenn ich Deutsch spreche? Oder ist das schwer für dich?
Sehr schwierig.
Sehr schwierig.
Das auf Deutsch ist einfacher.
Von was?
Englisch auf Deutsch.
Ja, dann machen wir es so. Okay, dann spreche ich Englisch und du übersetzt für die Schurikunde ins Deutsch.
Das erste Mal übersetzen.
Kriegst du das hin? Jo? Probier's mal. Ah, okay, ich brauche noch eine englische Gita. Kannst du schon mal diese Gita mitnehmen? Bring mir eine englische und du bringst die. So, at first I want to mention, every time we say Chai Om, this is actually called Prema Dvani. Prema Dvani. And in this Prema Dvani prayers, there's a glorification of the most important items and personalities, mainly personalities of our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And it's an honor to them, you know, the many things listed. And every time we say ki, the assembly has to say chai. You know, it's like, it means like victory. Chai means victory. You know? Gepriesen, praise. You know? Victory, actually. And it starts also as chai om Vishnupad. You know? And then all this, first you have Srila Prabhupada, Chai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parivrachak Acharya, Ashtotarasota, Sri Srimad, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ki, chai. And this every time we do in when we are bowing down. And it's very important that you understand who is glorified with this. So at first you have Prabhupada, then it's Bhaktisiddhanta, his spiritual master. Then you have Nam Acharya, Haridas Thakur, the great Acharya in our line who's chanting all the time Hare Krishna. And you have then Tulsi Maharani there, Bhakti Devi, actually it's Tulsi Maharani it said. Sometimes it's Radharani, sometimes it's Tulsi Maharani. And you have Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam. Granta Raj, Granta means scripture, and Raj means king. This king of scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And you have Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Godan Ki Jai, meaning the holy bathing place of Shyam, meaning Krishna. Shyam is a name for Krishna, they're dark, darkish. And of Radharani, Radha Kunda, and Giri Govardhan, the Govardhan Hill. So these are very important personalities actually, and items in devotional service, because this is the description of the spiritual world. So when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he was so merciful at first that he showed himself. And he comes in this world and shows himself, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he brings with him all his friends and all his family. And he brings the whole spiritual world. And Vrindavan is not different from the spiritual Vrindavan. So he comes with his whole, with everything. The whole spiritual world he shows, and then also the Leelas, what he's doing, so that we become again attracted. When we hear this, that we think, oh, we want to be there. We want to go there. We want to be part of it. Right now we are not part of it. No, we are not connected. We are not in the Leela. We are not in the spiritual reality. We are in Maya. We are in the material world. So Krishna is so merciful. He shows all this and the highest aspects of the spiritual world, which is the loving relationship between Radha Krishna. So, and today is also, as Prabhu mentioned, today is the appearance of Radha Konda, of the holy bathing place of Srimati Radharani. So she is this bathing place, this kunda. Kunda means like an, it's very hard to translate kunda, means like a tank, you know. Not a tank for shooting, but a water tank. Yeah, but it's not, because a kunda, it means this is a water reservoir, but it's around, it's man-made with steps inside, a pond is kind of in a natural atmosphere with a bank. Anyway, so I try to read also in this regard a verse from Bhagavad Gita and try to connect this. Maybe we read simply this verse from the 9th chapter, 11th verse. It's a very famous verse with a quite long purport, like a very long purport, because it's so important, so, but we will not read the whole purport, just the first paragraph. So, 9-11. So the verse goes as follows. Avachanam timang mudha manusim tanumashritam param bhavam achananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. 9:11. Translation. Fools deride me when I appear, descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So, fools deride me, meaning fools, in German said verspotten. Deride means also kind of don't know me, or even say, oh, he's not the Lord, he's not God. You know? So the fool is someone who's stupid, and he says, ah, this Krishna is who knows, but not God. You know? Deride. So fools deride me when I descend in this human form, when I come in this seemingly human form, I act like a human. They do not know my transcendental nature. They do not know that I'm actually transcendental, and as the Supreme Lord of all that be, Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. Bhuta Maheshwara, Maha Ishwara. Ishwara means like Lord, controller. Maha means the big controller. And also a name for Shiva, Maheshwara. Once it's, Krishna says, I'm the real Maheshwara. And Bhuta means all living entities. So he says, this is also Parang Bhavam, meaning my nature is transcendental. It appears that I come in as a human because he acts with the humans and he acts in human society. But he says, but actually I'm completely transcendental and I'm the Lord of all creatures. I'm the Lord of everything. So Prabhupada says, from the other explanations of the previous verses in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, so meaning not necessarily that he just that he takes a human form, let's say, but he acts as a human, more or less, no? Because it's not that he takes on the human form, it's more that he pretends to be a human. Although appearing like a human being, he is not a common man. The personality of God who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation cannot be a human being. Yet there are many foolish men who consider Krishna to be merely a powerful man and nothing more. Actually, he is the original Supreme Personality, as it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna. He is the Supreme Lord. So every one of you can read this purport for yourself later on in detail, because it goes, you see, it's a quite long purport. Bhagavad Gita doesn't have so many long purports. Now this goes on 1, 2, 3, 4 pages purport. It's quite long. Most of the purports like half a page, one page, or something like this. I think the longest purport is in the second verse of the 9th chapter. It is also very long. So meaning, if there's a long purport, it's important. Because it's very important that we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This might be in the beginning quite clear, but the closer we look at it, the more we see, it's not so clear. It's because of high realization. It's very deep. And we have to understand it deeper and deeper and better and better. And if we really, now we kind of believe in it, but if we kind of know it, have it realized, we are in love of God. And we are enlightened and there's no doubt anymore. Meaning if we are of doubts and we are not so sure, we are not so sure in our devotion. So we don't really know that Krishna is God. It's more and belief, we have trust, but the conviction has to be stronger and stronger. And this is the reason why Prabhupada stresses this point so much in his lectures, that we deeper and deeper and better understand that Krishna, this wonderful personality with the yellow cloth, dhoti, and with a darkish bluish complexion, blue cowherd boy with a turban, sometimes a crown, in Dwarka has a crown, but in Goloka Vrindavan he has an turban with a peacock feather and a very lovely face and nice eyes, lotus eyes, and red lips like a bimba fruit, and nice arms like elephant trunks. Brüsseland is elephant. Well, something was explained. And it is God. There's no one above him. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says this in the whole Bhagavad Gita. This is the main source for this, because every one of us more or less came to Krishna because of Bhagavad Gita. When we read what Krishna says about himself, we think, wow, this is amazing. There's some faith, there's some trust. And we start to believe, and Krishna immediately comes. Krishna is attracted by our belief. If we accept him finally again, he's very much attracted and helps us. And he will help us to have more and more understanding about him. So that it's not just a belief. In the beginning it's a belief, it's amazement. But with time this should become more dedication and more devotion and more love, real love. And when we are in love, I think every one of you has been sometimes in love. It's interesting because the person you love is very dominant in your consciousness. You think a lot about this person. And it might not be only in this man-woman or this amorous, romantic, but this is kind of the strongest in my experience. I like my parents, always my sisters, also have two sisters, but their love was not so intense when I fell in love with some girl. It was more intense, I was really thinking a lot, especially in the beginning with time then. Not so much anymore, natural, then you kind of, not you. Yeah, so Prabhupada compares this love from immaterial love, also with spirit, he says, this is how you should love Krishna. Spontaneous. Yeah? You don't have to tell the boy, so now you have to love her. You know, you have to think about her, and you have to have these feelings. It's natural. If the boy hangs out with the girl somehow, he starts loving her. And Prabhupada gives this comparison with Krishna, the advanced devotees, they love Krishna like this. He is always in their consciousness. And they want to do everything what is pleasing to Krishna. And they would never even think or dream of doing something which Krishna doesn't like. So how do we know what Krishna likes? We know it through the spiritual master, so Srila Prabhupada. So if we want to know what Krishna wants, we should read Prabhupada's books and should act upon this. We should act according to it. We should do what Prabhupada says. And then Krishna is very quickly happy. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kutopi. Every morning we sing. Meaning, if we have the mercy of the spiritual master, we have the mercy of Krishna. And when we don't have the mercy of the spiritual master, we don't have the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada explains, the guru is like the dog of God. And he says like this, if a man, let's bring in this woman example again, it's quite good. If you meet a woman and you like her and you want to invite her for dinner or something, and she goes with her dog, and how you approach her? You say, I like to go with you to dinner, but can you put this blöde Töle away? Blöde Töle means like stupid dog. You know, your dog is like, and it's ugly and it's really not nice and actually disturbing. I like you, but your dog is actually horrible. What will she say? Oh, yes, dog away and let's go. No. She will say, what? She will be shocked and she will not want to be with you. But if you go and, oh, what a nice dog, and she's, very, very happy. And Prabhupada says, this is like the spiritual master is like the dog of God. If the spiritual master, if you please the spiritual master, Krishna immediately, like this woman, he likes my servant. Because the spiritual master is very dear to Krishna. Because he, like Prabhupada, is very, very dear to Krishna. He's not an ordinary person. Prabhupada has such a relationship with Krishna. He always walks hand in hand with Krishna. He told this even when Prabhupada was, we know Prabhupada saw Krishna, he knew him, he talked with Krishna. But once he told also that he was on the Chaladuta, on this ship. He came from India to America. Chaladuta, as this ship was called. And there he had his heart attacks. Two heart attacks, really intense, and he was dying almost. And it was really intense, but he thought, I have to survive, I have to do this now for my spiritual master. He had the same for his spiritual master was doing, not for him. Yes, I have these books, and I go to the West, and now nobody knows me, but then they will call me Prabhupada, and they will glorify me, I will have a bestseller, my books everyone will sell, they will worship me, and yes, I will make this ISKCON. Prabhupada was not thinking like this. Even though it happened like this, he was thinking, I want to please my guru. I'm just an humble servant of my spiritual master. Everything happens by his mercy. I'm nothing. I'm just the servant of my guru. And his guru thought the same about himself. And so we think about the same on us. We are just servants of the spiritual master and of the devotees. So when Prabhupada had these heart attacks, at one point it was really heavy. And he told this story. He told this to Hari Shauri. It's on tape, you can't even listen to it. And then Prabhupada says, actually Hari Shauri asks him, because it was an interview, he asked him a little bit about his life and biography. And then he asks, because Prabhupada mentions when he came on the ship. And then Hari Shauri, somehow he must have heard about this dream. And he asked, very shy, he asked Prabhupada, and was there this with this dream? And yes, he didn't want to talk about it. But can you maybe tell it? Yeah, I had this dream, I had a dream and there was Krishna on this boat. And he was rowing the boat, Prabhupada said, and he was boating the row. And Hari Shauri, he mixed it up, because Prabhupada's English. And Hari Shauri said, you mean rowing the boat? Yes, rowing the boat. Meaning rowing the boat. The boat. Yeah? And it was Krishna. And Krishna said to him, don't worry. And suddenly Krishna, out of Krishna, there appeared all the incarnations, all the avatars. So all the avatars, Krishna in center, and all the avatars were there, and Prabhupada was on this boat, and Krishna was rowing the boat. And then, don't worry, I bring you to America. And another time, Bhavananda tells the story that Prabhupada explained, before he came in the material world, Prabhupada said, he was in the spiritual world. And he was with Krishna in the spiritual world. And then Krishna said to him, it's time, it's Kali Yuga, it's time you have to go there and preach. And Prabhupada said to Krishna, I don't want. It's horrible, it's material world, it's Kali Yuga. And Krishna said, don't worry, just write these books and I will do the rest. No? Just write the books, I will do the rest. And this was Prabhupada did, he wrote the books, and it was the centers, the most important, and the rest came. And of course he did a lot of other things also. But this is the point. If we want to see Krishna, want to make advancement, we should act according to Krishna's desire, which is revealed through the spiritual master. Yeah. And the spiritual master reveals everything, and this comes down to the parampara, as also the glories of Radhakund. Because the Radhakund was there many thousands of years back when Krishna was there. It's a long story how it happened that it came, but there was this bathing place. It's a bathing place for Srimati Radharani. She was bathing there. Srimati Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna. Meaning, Krishna is in the spiritual world and he is the center of everything, of the whole reality, and he has unlimited living entities for his pleasure, for his friends, where he can have loving exchanges. Rasa. Rasa means loving exchanges. Nobody wants to be alone, so God also, he doesn't want to be alone. And that he is not alone, he is, okay, I have many friends, and they are really cool, and I'm cool, and we have fun, and it's really nice. Huh? This is the reason why we exist. We exist for the pleasure of God, that he can love us, and that we can love him. And the best and supreme of all these pleasure persons, pleasure potencies, is Srimati Radharani. She is his most dear person. She's the reason for his existence. Not really, but in one sense, he lives for her. She comes from him. She's eternal also. It's very complex to understand. We cannot really understand on a mature platform. But she is his pleasure potency. And this is, she's, yeah. And she has her own, because she's a person, she has many things and likes many things. And she has also a bathing place where she bathes. And actually it's a spiritual water. And it's just for her pleasure that she sports and bathes in this water. And this place is very dear to Krishna. As Srimati Radharani is most dear to Krishna, her bathing place is most dear to her. So when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he was bringing also Radhakund. It was also there. The story how it got revealed is the story with which demon was it? Arishtasura. And I just say it short how it manifested in here, because Radhakund is eternally in the spiritual world. And when Krishna came in the material world, he manifested all these different aspects. And once there came a demon to Vrindavan, his name was Arishtasura, and it was a big bull. Bull. And bull, what is the meaning of bull in Vedic culture? Who can say? Maybe you know. Let talk the young ones. What is the meaning of bull? What is the symbol? What is bull's the symbol?
Religious principles.
Religious principles. Yeah.
Dharma.
Yeah. The bull stands for Dharma. And is very much respected in Vedic culture, the bull. So a demon took on the form of a bull. And it was a huge bull with huge horns. He was really wild. You know, when a bull is wild, you better go away. If he hits you, good night. So he came and it was a demon. He wanted to kill everyone. And the gopis were running and even hiding. And Krishna came out. Come, no problem. And it's explained in the 10th canto in Krishna book. And he was fighting, was whirling him around. And he was killing him in the end. And everyone was happy. But on one point, because Krishna, he has always this very, amorous and loving and choking relationship with the gopis. You know, the relationship is very teasing. You know what is teasing? Necken, ärgern. Now, he likes to tease the gopis, you know, make a little fun of them. But it's loving, it's nice, you know, it's rasa. So at one point the gopis said to him, we don't want to have anything to do with you because you killed a bull. And a bull is very good, it's religious, and you killed him. You are very bad. You have to get rid of your sin. You create so many sins. You have to do something about this. And Krishna said, no problem. And he made a little a little hole in the ground. And because the gopis said, you have to bathe in all the holy places now. You have to go on pilgrimage. Go out of Vrindavan, go on pilgrimage and bathe in all the holy places that you get free of your sins. Because when you bathe in Ganga or Yamuna, it washes away your bad karma. And they said, you create bad karma because you killed a bull. Even though it was a demon, it was choking. And Krishna said, no problem. And actually said he called all the holy places on the spot. Saraswati, this river, Yamuna, Ganga, Kalindi, Kaveri, all the holy rivers he called. And then he had a pond. Kunda, actually. Kunda. So all the holy rivers came. And suddenly they were there and he paced in it and said, okay, now I'm free of sin. And he said, it's not fair. No. And somehow then he said, but you also, what was it? You also created bad karma because you, what?
Now I'm so pure, you know, that I don't want to play with you anymore. He said, I'm not sure, but you are just simply cover a girl or something.
And then Radharani said, no problem, then I will also make my own kund. No, he said, oh, you can go in my kund now, and you become also pure. And Radharani said, no, I don't go in your kund. No, I make my own kund. And the gopis started actually with their bangles. They have these bangles, you know, and started digging a hole. And they wanted to also call, but the rivers were not coming. The rivers were not coming. And they were digging. And well, how they came, actually?
Actually, they made a chain from Manasi Ganga. It is Manasi Ganga, and then the gopis there. Some kilometers,
yeah.
Then they made the chain, and then with bucket was each gopi was handing another bucket, but it was going also slowly. And Krishna was laughing, and then the Rani became sad, and she started crying.
Yeah.
And then this is Radha Kunda is a combination of the Manasi Ganga and her tears.
Yeah. So this was like this. So Krishna was, it's a choking leela. No? So they were also digging, was not working, and some are very slowly, and Radharani was crying, and from her tears, and Radhakund came. So Nakshal said, these tears, this is her love for Krishna. It's not, she was not, of course she was sad, but this is all expression of love. These are things we understand more and more later on, it's very high. And so we cannot really speak too much on it, but this is all the loving relationships between Radha and Krishna, and the advanced devotees relish this very much because it's very pleasing. But as long as we are not pure, we identify with the material body and think we are a man or a woman, it's very difficult for us to understand this. That's the reason why it said these leelas are actually for liberated souls. These leelas are for liberated souls, meaning someone who does not identify with the material body and knows he's a soul, then he can appreciate these leelas and be real in ecstasy. So for us, this is just hearing that we have the knowledge. It's just for us information. But for advanced devotee, this is ecstasy. This is rasa. So for us, it's just information that we have heard the story. So this is then the Radha Kund. And then thousands of years passed because Krishna left the planet. And with time, this all disappeared. Govardhan Hill, it was much bigger. It gets smaller and smaller because it's the nature of material world. Krishna left and this was 5,000 years ago. So also Radha Kund, somehow, it was lost. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years back, when he revealed his Leelas, he made a tour to Vrindavan. Actually, and there's so much to say in this regard. But he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And so much to say, I would like to, but then we would sit a long time here. And I don't think we could, but I don't. So anyway, he at one point he came to Vrindavan, and he went in a field. Like in field, you know, like here you have the fields. And he ran in this field, and there was a little puddle. You know, a little place with water. I don't know how big it was, but little. It was just little water. It was not deep even. And he jumped inside. And he had a servant with him. It was Balabhadra, what was it? Balabhadra something. Balabhadra Bhattacharya? No, Balabhadra. Anyway, Balabhadra something. Yeah. And he saw this, and also this farmers just saw this. You know, you have to imagine, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone who saw him was like, wow, he was not a normal person. He was tall and golden and big eyes and in ecstasy and crying. He was so uncommon to look. Everyone saw, this is not a human being. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the reason why it was called Gauranga. You know? Meaning the one with the golden limbs, golden Körperteile, golden Körper. So it's not just a name or like Ludwig der 14, der Sonnenkönig. And it's just a name, you know, the Sun King, Ludwig 14th, you know. He was really looking like this. Eh? They said Mahaprabhu, the big master, Gauranga. There's so many names because he was really like this. So this wonderful figure jumping in the mud. And I was wondering, what is he doing? And I said, this is the Radha Kund. Because he was in Vrindavan, he was searching for Radha Kund. Said, this is the Radha Kund. And he was in ecstasy. And later on he told his disciples, especially Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, the Goswamis from Vrindavan, because before they were not in Vrindavan. Why we call them the six Goswamis of Vrindavan? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent them to Vrindavan. He said, go to Vrindavan. And the two main things they should do, write books and find the lost holy places. And nowadays when you go to Vrindavan, because at that time it was just a village or some farmers, it was a jungle, there was nothing. 500 years back, it was nothing. Actually, our Sampradaya, we founded, not found, but founded, you know, we are the foundation of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lineage, because he told the Goswamis, go there, find the holy places. And this is what they did. They found all the holy places and said, here happened this and here happened that, because they had divine revelation. Krishna showed them, and they saw, here Krishna did this. Here was the Rasa dance, and here was Balaram doing this, and Raman Reti, and whatever. So they found, and now even when you go to Vrindavan, it's a city, little city, and 5,000 temples, and nice temples, big temples, in the center of 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. Sometimes very small, sometimes bigger. And he sent the Goswamis there, mainly Rupa and Sanatan, and they built then the Radha Kund. They opened it again, and built the walls around, and now you can go inside and all this. And yeah, and it's recommended to bathe in Radha Kund. It's recommended, we should bathe in Radha Kund. And Prabhupada also liked his devotees to bathe in Radha Kund, but at one point, because devotees were sometimes a little wild, and new devotees, and first time there, and they were going to Radha Kund, and they were jumping in Radha Kund, making salto in Radha Kund, and diving and splashing like in, you know, swimming pool or something. And when Prabhupada heard this, said, stop this immediately. No one goes in Radha Kund. So meaning Prabhupada says that we should be very careful when you go into Radha Kund. With a very humble mood and prayer and dip in the water, it's not a sporting place. It's not a swimming pool. It's Radha Kund. And it's very, very good to bathe in Radha Kund. So all this knowledge we got and all this tradition, that's what I said, there's so much to tell. We have such a richness of information, knowledge and practice. We have no time for anything else. But right now, because we're still entangled with our mind and our karma, we cannot dive. But we should dive into, like if diving into Radha Kund, it said we should dive in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu means an ocean of the nectar, an ocean of nectar of Bhakti Rasa, of loving, of mellows of Bhakti, meaning an ocean of ecstasy. It's also Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that Krishna consciousness is an ocean of always increasing happiness, ecstasy. No? Material life, there's also Rasa, but it's very small, it's like a drop. You know, it said, der Tropfen auf den heißen Stein. What's the use of a drop on hot stone? In Germany, it's a Tropfen auf den heißen Stein. So material happiness is like drop on hot stone. It's like useless. You fight so much outside for little happiness. This is what everyone wants. Everyone wants happiness and ecstasy. And you have to work so much for it. Go to work to get the money and buy something, and until maybe you buy the wrong thing and then you got it and then this again gone, and you again have to work for it, and you find the woman and then she doesn't work out, and another woman and a child, and the child isn't begin happy, and it's always back and forth, and so much endeavor for a little drop of happiness. Material lifestyle is so useless. It's so useless. There's no use in it. And we should know this through listening and not through experience. Someone who is intelligent, he hears that and he will stay away from it. As not so intelligent person, he has to go, okay, I heard it, but I still have to try. And he has to get hit material world and say, okay, I now understand. Wer nicht hören will, muss fühlen. Who doesn't want to listen, he has to feel. So, the material life is like a drop of happiness, but spiritual life is like an ocean of ecstasy. The more we get purified, our consciousness gets purified, we see that the spiritual life is an ocean of ecstasy. And the day is not long enough. 24 hours, or the hours when we are awake, is not enough. In the evening you sit there and you have a couple of moments to read more than books. And think, man, I have to sleep now because tomorrow again, why can I not have now 2 hours more? It's so nectar. Or something, you chant your japa and so nice. And you know, 7:15, why can't it be 6:15? One more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah? Sometimes there is moments, and these moments should be constantly all the time there, where we cannot get enough of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. When we cannot get enough of kirtan, and reading the books and listening this to Krishna and his sound vibration. Yeah? And when we get this more and more, it's called ruchi, meaning taste, then material pleasure, material life is like so uninteresting. It's not interesting. Cannot offer you anything. The advanced devotee, he's not tempted. Tempted. Yeah? You know tempted? The word tempted? Tempted? It's verführt. He's not tempted. It's not interesting. Temptation. There is an example of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was chanting every day 192 rounds. Imagine, 192 Runden am Tag. Every day, 192 rounds every day. He was, and not because he had to, because he couldn't do anything else, because it was so Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He couldn't stop it. Yeah. And once there was a prostitute, because he was an holy man, and there was a zamindar, or how to say, a Muslim magistrate who was responsible for the area, and he was very envious because Haridas Thakur was very famous, and he didn't like, he was a demon, so to say, he didn't like it. He said, how can I, you know, show all the people that Haridas Thakur is a cheater? He's just pretending to be a holy man. He's only doing for prestige and honor. How can I do it? And he sent a very beautiful prostitute to tempt him. And she came in the evening. And she was dressed very nicely. And she was very beautiful. And Haridas Thakur was sitting. He had a little cottage, you know, was sitting, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she came. And she showed all her womanly. And she was standing there, chanting very low. What is a man thinking? And she was obviously interested, not just walking by, she was obviously interested. And she told him also, Madhya Thakur, oh, you're such a beautiful man. We have time. And he said, yes, but not now. Because I have to finish my rounds. So you wait until I finish my rounds and I will fulfill all your desires. I will fulfill all your desires, but you have to wait. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And she was like, and she sat next to him and he was chanting. Very beautiful woman sitting next to him, waiting to have nice evening. And he was chanting. And he was not like, okay, I finish. Quickly. He was chanting, chanting, chanting. And it got later and later. And then suddenly the night ended. And the sun came and she knew, oh, this is not my time now. So she said, okay, I go now. And she left. And he chanted, chanted, chanted. Okay. And then she went to this person, this Saminda. And he thought, and what happened? He said, yeah, he was chanting all night. And actually, this guy, he sent also another man who was in the bushes to watch what happens. And when something will happen, then he will reveal, ah, look at this Haridas Thakur. And she wanted to make a trap. So nothing was happening. I said, okay, go another night. And she came again next night. Another night. The next night, evening, next day evening, she came. And Haridas Thakur was chanting again. Of course, he's chanting. And she again came, and he said, yes, I fulfill all your desires, but please, I have to, this is my quota, I have this, yesterday you left so early, I have to chant my rounds, because this is my promise, my spiritual practice, but when I finish, I fulfill all your desires. And he was chanting, and she was waiting, and waiting, and he was chanting. And again, the day came, and she left. And this guy said, another time, this is not possible, try it another. And the third night, and she was, because she was listening the whole night to this pure chanting of Haridas Thakur, he was chanting, and then suddenly she got purified, and she said, what am I doing? I want to tempt this holy man, he's really holy, he's a pure devotee. And she fell to his feet. She said, oh, I'm so sorry, I was sent by this person, and I'm so sinful, I'm so dirty, and please save me. She understood her fall position. And he told her, no problem, stop all this business, plant a tulsi, and sit in front and just chant Hare Krishna. And she became a big Vaishnava. And she stopped everything and she became a saintly woman. Now, this is the power of the chanting of a holy man, Haridas Thakur. So there are many things interesting in this story, because imagine there is temptation in front of you, but you are so strong that you just chant Hare Krishna. It's not, because sometimes for us temptation is coming and going quickly. Krishna, he knows we are weak, So on book distribution, when I was distributing books, sometimes there comes a girl and somehow she says something or offers herself, or maybe you would like to come with me or something. And you know, I cannot now, and she leaves and you will never see her again. But if she said, you come, I wait here until you finish it. And you distribute books, you say, okay, what shall I do now? Will you say, please go away, or what will you do? No? So she was treated, and she was so beautiful. He was really beautiful, and he was not, no, I'm a devotee. I have something, because he had something better. He was swimming in this ocean of the holy name. And experience it, you can see in such a situation, it's true. How can you say no to in such a situation? It was just chanting. So this is what we can experience also. We can dive into this ocean of Bhakti Ras. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of this ocean, of this nectar of immortality. And we can drink so much. And this is what Krishna wants. He wants that we become so absorbed and so happy that we lose taste and interest in the material world. And become his dear servants and friends. And go back to home, back to Godhead. And join his Leela. He invites us. It's really, the temple is like this. Narasingha is like, please come back. Narasingha is like, please come back. I'm here. Don't go away. But so many people come. Oh, donation and go away. Good, but pure devotee is staying. He says, yes, Krishna, I'll come back. It's like, focused. Ekeya Kuru Nandana. He sees only Krishna. This is my purpose of life. I have to do everything to come closer to Krishna. And everything what is a hindrance, I put away. This is devotional principle. Accept everything what is good for Krishna consciousness and reject everything what is bad for Krishna consciousness. Very, very simple. And then we go back to Godhead after this life. So we should use this chance. We shouldn't. We should use this chance. We shouldn't miss this chance. We should be very determined. Know what we want. We want Krishna. So we have a lot to do. But it works. We should just do it. Last example, because Prabhupada, today I listened to a lecture, I listened to a lecture on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Prabhupada, Nectar Devotion. And he said, it's sure that you will get it. He said so often, it's sure that you become Krishna conscious. It's sure that you get prema. It's sure that you go back to home, back to Godhead. You just have to keep doing it. And he gives the example of a newly wed woman. If there is a marriage and a woman, and she wants to have immediately a child. Somehow she wants to have a child. And Prabhupada says, she has to simply wait, but is sure that she gets a child, because the man will marry and then they will have a child. But she has to wait. But it's sure that she will get. Same way with new devotees. It's sure that you get this Krishna consciousness. But you have to be a little patient and do the process and not go away. And he said, it's sure that you will get a Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada promised, it's sure. And he says, it's sure that you go back to home, back to Godhead. It's sure. But you have to stick to it. You have to keep doing it. Okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes?
Just something. You said you should not identify with your material body, either way.
Yeah.
If your soul, if you don't know your soul or what is your soul, how can you identify?
No, you get purified and your spiritual identity will get revealed. It's not that you have, die wird sich offenbaren. Durch den Krishna-bewussten Prozess offenbart sich das Schritt für Schritt. Das kommt ans Tageslicht, das zeigt sich. So, wir müssen uns nicht künstlich mit was identifizieren, sondern wir erkennen das mehr und mehr. Es ist eine Erkenntnis, es ist ein Prozess, ein Erkenntnisprozess. Prozess der Erkenntnis, Schritt für Schritt.
Und bis dahin?
Verstehst du, dass du ein Diener von Krishna bist? Das ist klar. Ja, weil du verstehst, dass dieses philosophische Verständnis kommt ja eben auch durch das Lesen der Schriften und man muss ein bisschen drüber nachdenken und verstehen, aber klar. The first step is that you that understand that you're not the body. When you don't understand this, the other thing is difficult. But when you understand, true, it's really true. I might not experience in full, but it's true. I'm not this body. You have to have this understanding of all these points and logic and experience. Yeah. So if I'm not the body, what am I then? Okay. Yeah, I'm a spiritual soul. And what is a spiritual soul doing? It's not sitting in front of the TV. It's not going to the bar. It's not driving race cars. What does, you know, imagine spiritual souls doing this? You know, spirit in Chintamani body, you know, going to McDonald's and going to cinema, doing stupid things, you know. No, spiritual souls are not doing this. Spiritual souls are loving Krishna. That's what Krishna says, Satatam Kirta Yantumam, always chanting my glories. This is what spiritual souls, like the angels, you know. Angels, oh, of the half, ding, 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 God is so great and God is so nice. This is what angels do, right? Angels don't go to the party, hey, how's it going? Yes, yes, with the wings. And they go, sitting in school, yeah, or doing some stuff. This is not angel business. Yeah, so soul business is not this material world, this is world of Maya. So this is easy to understand. Yes, I'm a spiritual being, I chant Hare Krishna. And then you experience also this pleasure and you see this is the right path also. So it will develop.
Did I ask this? How can I prevent?
Verhindern?
Did I forget Krishna?
Always chant Hare Krishna.
But also if I chant Hare Krishna, I forget him.
Yeah, that means we have to understand more and more that the name and Krishna are not different. Maybe you make a conscious meditation. Remind yourself, oh Krishna, Krishna, this is the name of Krishna. How does Krishna look? Imagine Krishna, think of Krishna. Cowherd boy with the flute, the blue boy. We know how Krishna looks. You can remember him, you can think of him.
But the picture doesn't stay long.
This is what we have to work. Every one of us has to do this, work on this, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is actually the only instruction, this is the essence, the most important instruction of all the Vedic scriptures. Always think of Krishna and never forget him. But every one of us has to work on this. No? And but there's no difference, as example, when you go to the art, you see Nrsimhadev, or you see Prabhupada, there's no difference. Everything what is connected with Krishna is Krishna. Like if you read the book, if you do look at Prabhupada, if you clean something, it's all connected with Krishna. And through this, with time, more and more, you will realize this. So we are right now in this washing process, and right now consciousness is quite dull, but as Prabhupada says, just keep on doing it and it will come, for sure. It will come. Okay.
So, Bhaktivinoda Swami was sometimes advising some of his disciples that like chant in front of the picture.
Yeah.
We have some form of Krishna or some picture that we really like, and we can chant in front, or we can like chant in front of deity, or
yeah.
We can even like have the Maha Mantra in front of us, and when we are chanting, we have to read every time we read.
This helps. Yeah, this is very good also. I like this. This is, we have to help ourselves, and with time, we realize that the name is not different from Krishna. Imagine you understand this real. The name is Krishna himself, and you chant saying, Hare Krishna, and it's Krishna, you know. It's...
Every time someone greets you with Hare Krishna, you will fall.
In ecstasy, yeah, this is what it is. And it's not just Krishna, it's Hare. Hare is Radharani. It says Radha Krishna all the time, and then you chant Hare Krishna, Rasa Leela all the time. This is the blessing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, but in the beginning, we have to help, we have to think, we remember, we have to look at the picture, and then more and more comes. Work, work, work. Keep on doing it, and it will come. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Holy appearance day of Radha Kunda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.